Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
One o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. James Howell producing the show today. It's a Wednesday. That means Jefferson's is the place to be. Jefferson's our Wednesday lunch partner on the show. Great daily specials, great happy hour. Locations in Lenexa, North KC, Lawrence, Topeka, Joplin, Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters. You guys know on Wednesdays, things got moved around a little bit today, but a chance to win a $50 gift card to Jefferson's. Any of those locations, we'll do caller number 8. Cody said during the break, I asked him 8. He said that was for how many oxy he took for surgery.
They gave me 10.
So did they? So you took 8 of them. 913-586-7965. Caller number 8. James will hook you up with a $50 gift card to Jefferson's. Let's pivot to baseball a little bit. Last night, while everybody was focused in, maybe still on where everybody was looking at the Chiefs and what happened on Sunday. Also, there was some college basketball last night. KU taking on Duke. The news in Major League Baseball, a pretty big trade went down. A rare one-for-one type of trade, two big leaguers. But the Baltimore Orioles traded Grayson Rodriguez, one of their only really talented pitchers, frankly, in the big league level, for outfielder Taylor Ward of the Angels.
That name got mentioned with the Royals a bunch now, over the years.
Rodriguez was out all of last year, multiple arm injuries, okay? Ward, though, is a free agent after this year. So, I don't know if anybody in Kansas City cares why I don't think the trade makes any sense for Baltimore. I don't. But Taylor
Other than
Ward,
if they think his arm's going to fall off, yeah.
Right. But Taylor Ward was a name, I think, at least for a year, has come up consistently that the Royals liked Taylor Ward. They were interested.
Yeah, he's.
I think it's fair to say
he had 20 homers last year. He had a bunch of RBI, so he's a good player.
Didn't he hit more than that? I thought he hit like 32 last year.
Yeah, you're
right. He was hitting like 228. I think he hit 32 home runs, and so they were interested. Perhaps career high 36. I'm sorry, 36 last year. He's in since 2022, 98 homers, 31 years old. Last year, as I said, 228. His slug jumped to a career high though because of that 475. He drove 100 runs for the first time as a big leaguer. Career best scoring 86 times as well. I'll be honest, out of the names that have floated for outfielders, Taylor Ward, Duran, those are the two most prevalent. I prefer Duran.
Same.
The asking price for Ward was interesting. What does that tell you? Do you think that...
Tells me Chris Bubich wouldn't have gotten it done. Right. I can tell you that much.
Right. And so
him
that's,
alone.
So that's the thing. Would it have had to been somebody like Bubich and another piece? I have said you were gone, and I don't know if you agree with me. I have mentioned if the Royals are going to fix the outfield, it has to be via trade because I just don't think they're going to be in the market of Bellinger and Kyle Tucker and those guys. Big money. And so if you're going to make a trade, I think the guy that gives you the most value is Noah Cameron. And I get why you wouldn't want to trade him, but that's also why he gives you the most value. And so that would be where I still lie on looking at a Jaron Duran or others.
So Jeff Passan had an article up yesterday, and in that specifically, in talking about the Royals, he mentioned the Red Sox and said that they have too many outfielders and they're going to have to trade one. Also mentioned that the Royals, he doesn't think the return will ever be high enough on Chris Bubich this offseason because of the injury for the Royals to move off of him at this stage. And I happen to agree with not just Passan's assessment there, but the idea that is, if the guy is injured, nobody's going to come correct. They all think they're going to get some discounty deal, like I kind of think the Angels got in this one. Getting fleeced by the Angels is really something. And I think that it's partially because Grayson Rodriguez is coming off an injury, and they got a discount on him. Now, way too much of a discount, in my opinion. But if that's the going rate for an injured pitcher, well, then it's not Chris Bubich. And it was never going to be Bubich enough. And so you were going to have to move a minor league player or a different additional big league player or something else inside there. So what it tells me is if you want to buy a bat, you better be willing to let go of either a Noah Cameron type, as in a current big league starting pitcher for you that people covet and has control, or you're going to have to be willing to cough up one of your premier prospects.
Yeah.
And if I'm the Royals, I'd choose the prospect just because one of them, two of them, three of them are catchers.
Yeah.
And I just signed Salvador Perez to an additional extension, I think in the time you were in the Bahamas. And then since then, obviously Carter Jensen's come up and had some success, and they got a bunch of other guys at that spot.
Couple people on the text line were asking, oh, Bubich was an all-star even prior to, how is he less valuable? Rodriguez is pre-arb.
Yeah.
I think that's the simple way to look. Like, Chris Bubich after this year is has no more years of control. And so if SpotTrack is correct, and I didn't look up Grayson Rodriguez contract situation prior to last night, basically. He's pre-arb. So that's the difference in value. The Angels are getting a pitcher that has multiple years of control still. That's all.
Yeah. And he has been, I would argue, like, and I guess this is probably somewhat subjective because both guys have been hurt. And we have seen Chris Bubich be dominant in a time in which he was healthy, but we've also seen Chris Bubich be average at a time that he was healthy and pitching. I would argue that Grayson Rodriguez is both younger and at his peak, probably people coveted more, even though he's from the left-hand side. Maybe it's similar, but at the very least, control is a huge part of this, and age is a huge part. Look, I think the Orioles got ripped off. I have no idea what the Orioles are doing. It doesn't really make any sense to me, this deal.
Yeah, Taylor Ward could be there for 1 year. That's it. Now, maybe they're going to get an extension done in spring training or something or here soon.
Even if they get an extension done, Rodriguez should hold more value in the open market than he did. The problem is that if Taylor Ward was your guy, Bubich wasn't going to get it done. They had a better deal on the table, significantly. Not at least 30% better, in my opinion, because of the cheapness of it, the type of player Grayson Rodriguez has the potential to be. And look, you could argue the same, right? Maybe Bubich is getting ready to do some similar things. He's only thrown 120 innings per year, Grayson Rodriguez. He's only got around 4 ERA. That's pretty similar to those guys. But there's always a risk in going there. I still think, I don't disagree with you. I think the trade market is probably the more realistic path for the Royals to improve. It's just, what are they willing to let go, you know?
Yeah, and there's been a lot of reporting out there that, you know, and it makes sense that because of value and also the contract, like Seth Lugo, if they were going to trade him, he would have been traded at the deadline last year. Yeah. Seth Lugo, to me, is not getting traded.
Same thing.
He was loyal to Kansas City. They gave him a contract extension. Cole Reagans, he looked good in his final three outings coming back from injury.
Same thing.
They just got a very team-friendly contract with him right now on top of it. Whereas Noah Cameron has multiple years of control. They don't even have a year of service time yet, Noah Cameron does.
Their better team is not to find a team who wants to compete. They got to find a team who's willing to take prospects and rebuild because they have so many, like, their depth gold is not just at the major league level, it's also in the minors. You realize that the Royals this week quietly, right, because it's always quietly because it's baseball, had to designate their players on the 40-man, so to avoid guys from hitting the, albeit Rule 5 draft, where a team can pluck your guy off the squad, put him in the big leagues, and just as long as he stays on the roster for the entire year, they get to keep him. They didn't even bother protecting, and I'm not saying he's been a star, by no means has been, for this team, and probably because of the level of the minors he's in, doesn't mean he'll get plucked off of some team and put into the majors. They didn't even bother to protect Frank Mozzicato, former first-round pick, who for the first time probably his entire minor league career got to Double-A and started to look at least like a competent pitcher, as he was excellent in A-ball.
Because what team is going to draft him and have him in the big leagues right away?
I would have said the same thing about the kid. That one like 3 years ago, who had just gotten to Double-A ball, and the Royals didn't protect, and he got plucked on. Someone put him on there. I'm just saying they got depth. Kuder not got protected, and some other guys didn't. Look, Mozzicato might not get selected in the Rule 5 draft, but they've got depth. And that's why they should be willing to trade from there. If they can find a team that will take prospects, trade prospects. People should start coveting the Royals' pitching prospects more, too, because they've done a better job getting those guys up to the big leagues. No, Cameron's just the most recent success story, not the only. And maybe that's why they should be willing to move on from Cameron, to your point.
Yeah.
And that they think that they can turn that around similar.
From the text line, someone says, would love to know what minor league catcher has ever been moved for a home run hitting 4-5 hitter. I keep hearing that's what the Royals need to do. I don't think anybody, at least,
I think it had to be a package.
Is saying, nobody's saying Blake Mitchell on his own. No. No, I think he would be part of a trade.
But I think if you had Bubic and Blake Mitchell in a deal, you can get the outfielder you want. I'm not saying you get to take those and trade for Shohei Ohtani. Let's not get insane here. But I do think that you can package Blake Mitchell and Chris Bubic together, and that should get you almost any outfielder that is inside your range
of
trying to trade for.
But we also know we're way too early in the offseason for this. We have seen how they operate, though, as an organization. If we get to, let's call it first or second week of January, and they haven't made a trade at that point, and for a variety of reasons, the market's not what they thought it should be, whatever it may be, right?
Return, sure.
Then we know as it gets later in the offseason, they have shown, John Sherman has shown, they will then, if there's a position that maybe we didn't think was at the top of the list, but they think, wow, there's a market inefficiency there, or like we can get it. Like,
it was a
Carlos Estevez move from last year, right? Yeah. It was a couple years ago. I guess it would have been was that the Seth Lugo signing, or was that Waka? Whoever, basically adding in a piece late that they really didn't have much of an intention of signing, but they're like, he's still the best bang for the buck that we can actually go get. So if they cannot go attack outfield, and I think they will, by the way. I think they recognize, I think they absolutely will.
I don't think you can go into this year not doing anything.
I think they will make a trade for an outfielder. But if they were not able to do that, then there'd be some other, this is where, you know, you would look at a different position that they would go and spend more money than we thought they would at a certain spot. But I think it's very clear after what happened last year with the outfield situation and your opening day left fielder is in AAA. Who knows if he's on the team. Maybe he's thrown in a trade, by the way. We'll see. Talking about MJ Melendez. And then Hunter Dozier, of course, not even in baseball. So, did you also see why you were gone?
I missed some stuff. I wasn't.
Did you
like,
see why you were gone? Cam Devaney signed with the team in Japan.
Oh, he's not even a big leaguer?
Weren't those fun days when everybody panicked? Because
not this show.
Not this show. No. How could you trade Adam Frazier for Cam Devaney? He could be the next Whit Merrifield. He could be the next Mike Avilas. And he's not even going to be the biggest.
Did you guys talk about that on the air, I hope?
No, we didn't get to it.
Oh, man. What a world. What a weird.
Best of luck to Cam Devaney. It was never about him personally. It was more about people were acting like the Royals gave up on a future all-star.
I think it was more about their hatred of Adam Frazier than their like of Cam Devaney. But I've never seen a prospect that nobody cared about in their upper 20s get that much buzz post an Adam Frazier deal. It's like it was a nothing for nothing trade, and it didn't even end up being nothing. Adam Frazier ended up being a nice contributing member of the Royals the rest of the way. They'd have been even further away from a playoff spot if he wasn't on the roster.
Yeah.
So at this point, the Royals do deserve, and this goes back to the Chiefs too, which we'll talk about here in a second. The Royals do deserve a little bit of credit in the trade game. They have been savvy and smart in that, and they have had a lot of success doing that. And so I like to think that they'll have some movement there. And if they make another trade, I'm going to assume that they're getting the better end of it right now until proven otherwise, because to this point, they have done that. We mentioned with the Chiefs that they deserve a lot of credit. But there is a part of the offense right now where you and I are observing the same thing. Travis Kelce had an awesome game against the Broncos. 8 catches, 91 yards, a touchdown. Phenomenal. He's on pace to have like 1,100 yards again this year and like 8 touchdowns. And you're like, here we go again. Travis Kelce, the ageless man. But you and I had the exact same feeling, which as much as I like that, and I want Travis Kelce to come back next year, and it's good that Travis Kelce's still a viable NFL player and all this other stuff. He's really, really good. He's one of the top tight ends in the NFL once again. It is not good that he's their best security blanket and their number one wide receiver. It was supposed to be Rashee Rice. Worthy should be giving more competition. Something, they're healthy. We spent all of last year just being like, oh, what could they have been if they were just healthy on offense? They're healthy and something's off. So is it two guys being used? Is it guys recovering from injuries or in the middle of injuries that aren't the same? What did we miss? Because something was missed because the offense isn't as dynamic as everyone said it was going to be, myself included.
Yeah, give a ton of credit to Travis Kelce, who clearly changed his offseason approach. And specifically in that last touchdown they just had against Denver, the record-setting touchdown, he looked as quick as I think we've seen him in a long, long time on that particular touchdown. So give him credit for having a good season as well. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I am with you that I think it is not a great sign, though, that offensively, still in the biggest moments, it feels like that's the guy that Mahomes is still counting on the most. And you can say, well, what's wrong with having a reliable tight end? That's not the point. It's that I don't know if he trusts anybody else in the gotta have it moments. I there was the play. It ended up being an incomplete pass on one of the three and out drives against Denver, where Patrick Mahomes very quickly threw it to Travis Kelce. It was incomplete. The Broncos were all over it, and they thought they were going to get an easy 4 yards out of it. And I think Mahomes maybe talked about it today that if he would have let the play develop a little bit more, he might have had Hollywood Brown crossing from right to left on the field. So that's where it's like you can't trust somebody too much. Have a little more faith in somebody else as well. That goes on the receivers. That goes on Patrick Mahomes as well. So it's not taking away that, like, hey, it's a bad thing that Travis Kelce's having a great year. He is having a great year. But the fact that you have all these weapons healthy and that you're still relying the most on 37-year-old.
Look, it's the same thing. I want Travis Kelce to be this version of Travis Kelce, but on January 15th. Look, I don't know if you agree with me that he should come back next year. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't. I mean, he's obviously still one of the five best tight ends in football.
I have just always thought this is it. It's kind of one last kumbaya kind of moment here. But
I don't disagree that I think it might be it. I'm just saying it shouldn't be, which is certainly slightly different. But here's the issue. Right now, what I was trying to do when I was trying to do this exercise in my head is like, okay, so what is the problem with the wide receiver unit? Because it is underperformed based on what it sold. Where is the issue? I think Rashee Rice is pretty simple. Rashee Rice was coming off a devastating knee injury, and we tried to pretend like after 14 months, he should just be the same player again. Not how bodies work. And so he is not getting the same separation. He is not the same player he was for the first four games last year or in his rookie season. He needs another full year probably to fully healthy to maybe return back to the Rashee Rice of the past. Okay, got it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
That one makes sense. Worthy is the confusing one because I know he had and has the injury right now that he's dealing with. He has just been worse and did not take a step forward the way I thought. At best, you could say he's the same wide receiver as he was last year. Yards per catch, yards per reception, yards per route run. All those things are very similar. He's not way off his game-to-game pace from a year ago, but he is on pace to finish with less than 500 yards. He's had one good game all year against the Ravens, and I thought he might be a true number two wide receiver, and he hasn't been anywhere close to that. I think the biggest problem in their receiver unit is they should use Tyquan Thornton more. That's fairly simple, right? Use him more, especially in the deep stuff. And Xavier Worthy didn't develop. He's a first-round pick. This should have been a huge year for him in the take-a-big-step-forward camp. And instead, I think he might have taken a half step back.
And I don't know how much the ankle slash dislocated shoulder is playing a role in this. It might be playing a much bigger role. We're going to find out after the season and all that it's a miracle that he's playing and all that. I don't know, right?
Yeah.
We're not in the rooms, and I don't know what he is directly dealing with from that, if that's any sort of real limitation for him. But I think you're watching this wide receiver room again, and despite what we still think Rashee Rice is as a receiver, that they still don't have the guy that can consistently win.
Just get open.
One-on-one, man-to-man defense, which is what the Broncos just ran. By the way, it's what Lou Anarumo and the Colts are going to be running plenty with Sauce Gardner and former Chief Charvarius Ward as well.
Designated to return.
Yeah, he's going to play, I think, on Sunday.
Yeah.
The man-to-man beater type stuff is the problem still.
Are they just not playing as well, or did we just misevaluate him?
Like, I think both. Honestly, I think both. I think, look, the dream scenario of both from the team, from us, from fans. Wow. I mean, think about it. You're going to have Hollywood Brown and Worthy and Rice and a healthy Kelce and all that. This should be explosive. I think, by the way, it should be a lot better than what they've gotten out of the wide receivers. But yeah, they probably were overhyped. I'll say that with bizarre kind of numbers offensively, they are still a better offense by far than a year ago, which is weird. Yet we all know in crunch time, they're not. and they're 5-5, and so the record is what the record is. But EPA per play and all this, they're trending some of their best since they've had Patrick Mahomes.
I know.
That's what's bizarre.
I know. I
and then like if wide receiver directly, some of this is just the style of receiver that they are always going to draft. You and I and everybody has talked for years that look, we all would love them to go and draft the 6'3", 240-pound wide receiver. That's just not the guy they draft. No. They just don't. Rashee Rice is like the biggest receiver they've ever drafted.
And he's 6 foot one.
He's 6'1", 210.
I think that might be in cleats. So like we're not even going fully that distance yet. And so I think in retrospect, some of it is the injury stuff like I mentioned. But look, they've got to probably shrink the rotation. It's too many snaps for too many guys. Get Hollywood off the field more. Get Worthy off the field more if he's not going to produce with the snaps. Because he's getting the same number of targets and certainly not getting nearly as many catches to go with it. So, like, find the guys who aren't producing at least at this level at the moment and shrink it. And get Rashee Rice 11 yards down the field instead of 2. His yards per catch got to go way up. You can tell me all the time. The text line was over here saying, he's the yak guy.
He's supposed to be.
Start 7 or 8 yards down the field. It does not have to start 2 yards down the field. Every game for him is 6 catches for 37 yards. I think we can get Rashee Rice a little bit further down the field.
Yesterday we had Nate Taylor
not
on.
40 yards down, 10.
We had Nate Taylor right around the same time, actually. We were having almost this identical conversation.
Really?
and it was just about, look, a year ago, due to injury, when Brown got hurt in preseason, as we know, Worthy was a rookie still. Rice was out for the year with the knee injury. They were forced to play a certain way, and also that you didn't have all these quote unquote toys to play with. This year, you got everybody available, and it's overcomplicated. You're trying to appease everybody. You're trying to get way too smart. I don't even know if gimmicky is the right word, but you're trying. You know. Everybody cites the play against the Broncos where they had Robert Tonyan, Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice in the backfield, Kareem Hunt out at wide receiver. What was that? 23 personnel, I believe is what they call that. Like they had that. Why? in that particular spot late. Like if they were truly, not that I want anybody to be hurt, but if they were forced and they only had a healthy Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, I think they'd be more willing to be doing what you're suggesting. I think they have so many weapons in their mind that they don't know what to do with it. Honestly. And you're like, oh, how could you say that Andy Reid's the best? This is not talking about the legacy of anybody. They have all accomplished amazing things. We've never seen a coaching staff together like this win as much as they have. It's unbelievable. But I do think Nate was correct yesterday, and it's a good point about, in a weird way, when you have so many options, You don't know how to use all of them, and you're trying too hard to get everybody involved when you really do need to narrow it down.
Yeah, I think that there's a huge part of that, and I think that there's just this, and it's probably tough, but when you're 5-5, man, that's the time for, and this is part of the problem. They have not been so bad that it requires a drastic, they're not going to look at themselves in the mirror and say, we have been so bad here that we are going to completely alter the way that we do things. No, they don't feel like they're that far off, and I can't even necessarily blame them for feeling that way. Because they've mostly just been horrible in the important moments, not in every moment of the game. Although I thought that they were pretty handled by Denver a huge majority of the game. They were lucky to be in that game late, as I thought the better team pretty clearly was a good chunk of the time, Denver. Over in the text line from the 913, Cody sits out a week, and now he's talking about someone who plays hurt. Different jobs, man. Different jobs.
Yeah. A little bit different. We were talking to our boss before the show. We're like, here's the one thing, like, no matter what surgery you have, physically demanding, we sit on our ass for 4 hours and talk, you know?
Yeah.
we sit in a chair and talk for 4 hours. There's that. But you got to, you know.
But also heal. Binkley giving me a hard time saying,
well, that's the
opposite. I came in the day after surgery. I'm like, well, that was stupid. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Stay home. Heal a little bit. Rest, Cootie my man.
Yeah, that probably wasn't so smart.
You're Bink?
Cootie Tampa Charmin.
He called you Charmin.
Tough.
Mm-hmm. Danny Hughes called you out a little bit. Charge compared you to Dwayne Bowe.
That is a stirring tribute to Dwayne Bowe dropping his ball.
In his honor, I'll stop by Sonic on the way home, you know?
Yeah, and get a little cherry limeade.
That was like the middle of the night, too, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was late.
Yes, it's an all-timer. Late.
Man, you know what? Teams are fun to cover sometimes because just weird things happen and you never know.
Up next, we'll get to a quick what's trending. And then earlier today, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, joined us. We asked him, he's seen the Colts in person on a broadcast a couple times. What are the Chiefs getting on Sunday with Daniel Jones and the Colts? And is he ready to write off the Chiefs?
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com. What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on What's Trending, Andrew Reid spoke to the media live around noon today here on 96.5 The Fan, and he mentioned Isaiah Pacheco expected to practice today. Remember, he's been out last couple weeks with a knee sprain. Also, Kingsley Suamataia still dealing with the concussion protocol and not going to practice. It sounds like they believe Xavier Worthy will practice. Could be limited, dealing with an ankle injury. Remember, he has popped up with that a few times. That is the latest on the injury front as the Chiefs get set to host the Colts in the biggest game of the season. Noon kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Yep, you're home for Chiefs football, obviously Royals baseball as well. Next up on What's Trending, the Pro Football Hall of Fame has announced 9 individuals have reached the semifinal stage of their seniors category. That's for the players who didn't get in during the original voting process. Of note, one of those 9 finalists is Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Otis Taylor.
All right.
So gaining a little bit more traction again. There's only 9 semifinals. He's one of the 9. So certainly giving himself a chance at least to be considered. I think maybe Andre Rison and a few others.
Andre Rison, huh?
I think is it him?
Really?
I'm trying to look at. Oh, I'm sorry.
Andre
I thought
Reed?
It was right. No, I was thinking it was later that. Steve Tasker, Stanley Morgan.
Andre Rison.
I just saw the photo. And then let's see. And then a couple of other guys like Ken Anderson for the Bengals. But Otis Taylor, one of 9 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame's senior class.
We'll say Andre Reed's already Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I was thinking he wasn't for some reason. That's what I meant to say.
No, you're good. I was like, Andre Rison's a name I hadn't heard of.
No, not that one.
Elsewhere in What's Trending.
Just thinking former Chiefs wide receiver.
Kansas dropped their game to Duke last night, 78-68. There was no Darren Peterson. Bill Self telling Matt Norlander they hope to and believe he could. Darren Peterson could be back for the Players Era Invitational, which is taking place out in Vegas. Some games against Syracuse, and I can't remember who the other opponent would be while they're out there. K-State, I don't believe that is correct. It says K-State on our thing, beat Troy. They played Tulsa 2 nights ago.
Oh, that's I'm getting that mixed up. Well, it doesn't matter. Either way, Kansas did drop to Duke. I did see, by the way, this is a very small one's training. You see tomorrow? Ruse Soccer is hosting an NCAA tournament game for the first time ever on campus.
It's going to rain, isn't it?
NCAA tournament game for the
rainy one. You should go out there, professor.
It's during my class.
Well, cancel class. Tell everybody to go out there.
Oh, you think I should
in
get
the rain? Extra
credit.
Is
that
credit.
Okay?
Extra credit
to go out in the rain?
Yep.
That's only $10 for the tickets.
Might good be for them.
Kickoff
good
starts at 6 o'clock. First time ever they'd be hosting an on-campus NCAA tournament game. They're a very good soccer program. Next up on What's Trending, the Saints are expected to play a game in Paris and could be as early as 2026, according to multiple reports. This just adding another country to the long list that the NFL has been seeking overseas. A Paris game as early as 2026, possibly, for the Saints. That feels like, by the way, if you're wanting to catch your team overseas, Paris doesn't seem like the suckiest place to go do it, does it?
No, that'd be amazing. I mean, that would be
Eiffel Tower in the background.
Again, football is the appetizer on that trip. If that's the case. If you're gonna fly away to Paris, like, oh, we're gonna go to a football game and then we're gonna stay another week after in Paris.
Yeah, for sure.
Is I think definitely how you would have to do that. Lastly, on What's Trending, unfortunately for the Falcons, Michael Penix Jr. having season-ending knee surgery. He is done. Kirk Cousins back in charge, but the Falcons season getting away from them already. Anyway, Joe Burrow, by the way, did participate in 11-on-11s today for the Bengals. There is talk that perhaps by Thanksgiving he could return.
The 3-7,
they're about to be 3-8 here very, very quickly.
Yeah. Look, they play the
Patriots without Jamar Chase because he spit on somebody. And then said, oh, if I was really trying to spit, I would have got him in the face. And they didn't buy that appeal. That appeal did not work.
That's not a great excuse. It was like, I was just spitting lightly. If I was really trying to do it, boy, I had to really spit on that guy. Not surprised he got a game for that. And almost $600,000 in fines because of the game check and stuff.
That is what's trending. A couple of people on the text line said, not going to Paris after the bed bug issue. Is this a thing? Is there a known bed bug issue in Paris? Is this like the hotels and stuff all over the city? Is that true? I don't know. I've never been to Paris. Have not been. I finally went out of the country for the first time.
Peaked in 2023, according to this.
Okay.
They had massive issues in 2023 and during the 2024 Olympics.
Okay.
But this on Reddit from
fine, all good
from like 6 months ago says, is the bed bug risk real? Let's see.
We know someone that was living there for the last six months.
Yeah, I could just ask him.
So I think we're good.
Yeah. Former producer of this show, Nick Schwartz, was living in Paris for like months. So I'll just ask him if he's got bed bugs.
Someone says, bad professor, Cody, if you don't excuse him to watch the first ever.
They have to prove that they're going, though. I can't just be giving you class.
Make them give you like a, what, a program or what?
I'll just walk over with him. We'll just all get together, get your 10 bucks.
They don't want to sit with their
professor. They don't have to sit with me. I just want to watch him go into the stadium.
Okay.
I want proof that they go. I'm giving extra credit for going. Oh, it's only 10 bucks.
You should go.
Yeah. I got to cancel class to do it, though. And we only have like four or five classes.
Yeah, you
left.
Already missed. I'm sure you canceled class last week, too.
Well, Tuesday there was no
class. And then next week, are you canceling class because the day before Thanksgiving?
First off, the campus closes itself next week.
These kids just don't go to any class anymore.
Tuesday
you
was Veterans Day, and then yes, Thursday.
So then, 3-4 weeks, there's no class.
It's not that. That's why we have to go on Thursday. Yeah. So I can't just let him go to a soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else should go.
Wow, a lot of people.
First 100 students get it for free.
A lot of people attacking Paris on the text line. I wasn't aware that this was a thing. Okay. Someone says, my daughter went to Paris a couple years ago, said it was way overrated and filthy. Huh.
Well.
Again, I've not been.
Either
it
way.
Was on the list.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
List. Maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe it shouldn't be. It's fine. I might be going to my second country in, like, I hadn't gone overseas in 34 and a half years of my life.
Yeah.
And then I finally went, as you know, to the Bahamas. And I think I might be going to another country in February. So all of a sudden, not Paris, not go to France or anything, but
figure out which
I'd
one.
Be going to the most French country, the most French city in North America. Do you know what that is?
Montreal?
Look at
that
you.
That was just a guess.
No, that's a good, I mean, it's a fair guess. Yeah. Anyway, let's hear what Ross Tucker had to say earlier today, our Odyssey NFL insider. We talked to Ross Tucker about this Chiefs team, and is he already convinced that it's over for them?
Yeah, I guess. I'm still not there.
Neither am I.
I've gone on a couple shows the last couple days, and they've said, is this the end of this run for the Chiefs? Is this the end of the era? And I made it very clear, no one will find me on any video camera or any audio of me saying that. As long as Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback for the Chiefs, I believe that their reign, their Super Bowl window is wide open. They are losing their fair share. They're losing more than their fair share of close games after winning more than their fair share last year. I think the truth and where they really are probably lies somewhere in the middle. And I think that'll start to correct itself probably as early as Sunday.
When you look at this team, it felt like nationally everybody was ready to just be like, ding dong, the witch is dead. And like praying for something that maybe doesn't come true. Now, look, they've got problems, Ross, but what I can't figure out is statistically, things actually look like this team should be winning more than they do. But they are awful in the final 4 to 8 minutes of a football game. Can you explain why a team with this experience would struggle in that spot? It would actually make more sense to me to struggle in different areas, but they're bad at the end of the game.
Yeah, no, I have no explanation whatsoever. I mean, honestly, you know, when they won the 15 straight one-score games, I thought certainly, look, if you say the baseline, an average team should win half those games. I think it's fair for a team with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback and Andy Reid as your head coach to win more than 50%, right? I don't know what that number is.
65, 70, 80, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. They also shouldn't be 0 for 5 this year, though. And it's just stunning because you know that some of the regression was going to come, but I don't know that I thought it would be 15 straight wins in a row, followed by 5 straight losses in a row in those one-score games. And it's especially surprising because still, I don't know about you guys, but still, every single time the Chiefs are in that situation, my gut, my brain fully expects them to make the plays necessary to win the game. And it's still jarring and surprising when they don't.
Yeah, 100%, as we're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider here on 96.5 The Fan. Can you pinpoint anything, though, just not necessarily the final drive type of stuff that Cody was asking about, but just is it Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter isn't as sharp to you? Is it that the play calling has gotten predictable? Because that's been a theme this week, and certainly on this show and others in the city, that when you're losing as many close games as they are, and some of these issues, are teams just figuring them out more? Like the Chris Jones acknowledged that the Broncos kind of knew what was coming with some of their defensive looks. You know, late in the game, Andy Reid, you know, on two, three and out drives didn't run the ball a single time. Do you think they become predictable?
I won't say predictable. I will say that, you know, when you've had guys doing it as long as Andy and Spags, that they've got some pretty strong tendencies built up over the years. But I don't know, guys. I mean, was that any different last year? You know, they still had a significant body of work last year and the year before, and nobody was saying these things. So the idea that all of a sudden, you know, those guys forgot how to coach or, you know, now they aren't able to figure things out, I don't really buy that. I do think both offensively and defensively, they have some things they like to do when it comes to winning time, and people probably have a pretty good feel
right
for what those things are. But, I mean, I don't know that they were really doing anything different last year when they won it all. But
I'm really impressed as you're talking. Text line is wondering, I have to ask the question before we continue. Are you working out while talking to us? This is impressive.
How can you guys hear that? You can hear that?
We think you're on people think you're on a Stairmaster or something.
No, I can get off.
No, it's fine.
I'm on a treadmill. Well, I guess now that you know about it, I can go down a little bit. I'm on a treadmill because, you know, I've learned it's like, I read somewhere that not to look at exercise as the solution or the answer, but to look at sitting around as the problem. And so it's a little bit too cold here to be outside. I usually like to go for a walk outside, but if I'm going to be talking with you guys in 15 minutes, rather than just sitting there, I'd rather, you know, get some steps in, I guess.
No,
if you guys can hear it,
no, but
it's distracting, then maybe I shouldn't do it.
No. I'm impressed. I mean, you put it this way, I would not be able to complete sentences if I was trying to do an interview. I would never even dare try to do what you're doing. So it's not that noticeable.
You know, the real problem is, I was like supersetting lifts, like shoulders, biceps, triceps, right before you guys called. Now I'm on my treadmill, but because I was lifting, my heart rate's decently high. Like,
right, well, now you're bragging, Ross. All right, yeah. Now you're bragging. Okay, thank you. You know,
I got to keep working out so I can look like you guys next time I see you.
Yeah. Before we ask you about the Colts, since we're already on the medical stuff, what do you think a standard amount of time a radio host should miss for hernia surgery?
Ooh, that's a really good question, actually, because I've had that surgery.
Oh,
I had a sports hernia surgery after my senior year. What day of the week are you getting the surgery done?
Tuesday.
I think that you should be back by the next Monday at the latest.
Oh, so you were one day too long, Cody.
Ah, too long.
He had surgery.
I had the surgery.
He had it last Tuesday, and he's just getting back today.
Yeah, I would say, you know what's crazy? I remember I had that surgery done at Rutgers. I went to Princeton, and we drove back to my house in Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania, afterwards. That was painful because the medicine wore off from the surgery. And then if my dad, like, went over a bump on the turnpike, like, that was hard. I don't recommend a two-hour drive after that surgery, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's brutal. Ross Tucker joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. You've called a couple Colts games, if I'm not mistaken. I think maybe a Colts-Titans game, maybe another one or two. What are the Chiefs dealing with here on Sunday as the Colts come off a bye and head to Arrowhead?
Yeah, so I did one Colts game, but obviously in preparation for that game, I watched them a bunch. They are really, really good, especially on offense. Interestingly, the last couple games they played, they haven't looked as good. You know, the offensive tackles have been getting beat. Daniel Jones has been turning it over because prior to these last two games, and they lost the Steelers and they won the other one, but prior to these last two games, they were like a machine. I mean, they looked almost like prime Chiefs. You know, they have arguably the best running back in the NFL. They have a quarterback playing like a top five guy. Offensive line, I thought, until these last couple games, is probably the best in the league. Their tight end, the top five tight end in the league already. And they have a really nice receiving core. I mean, Alec Pierce has been outstanding. Pittman, Downs, they're very impressive. I don't think that they're that great defensively. And I think they lost their best defensive player in DeForest Buckner, which is a huge, huge loss for them and something that the Chiefs absolutely have to take advantage of.
How much do you think, I think earlier today, the Colts designated Charvarius Ward to return? I don't know if that means he will play on Sunday, but how much do they miss him being gone with the concussion?
Well, you know, it was very clear for the game I did that he was their best corner and he was the corner they liked the most. So that's significant. And then since then, they've obviously traded for Sauce Gardner. So if they had Ward and Sauce out there at the same time, that's obviously the combo they want and feel good about. Because I don't think that they are a dominant front seven team. So they really need the coverage guys to really play at a high level.
Ross, I want to ask you about the Chiefs one more thing. We were talking about them offensively. The big conversation, seemingly locally, is they should just run the ball under center. Can you explain from like a, you're in the middle of an NFL season, you understand that under the center runs work, they like the RPOs more, and those statistically, yards per play wise, do work. Can they just shift to that? Should they just shift to that? Should they be a team who just calls a running play and doesn't give Mahomes the option anymore? Because Andy in postgame had said there are plays in which it could be run pass and Mahomes is just choosing pass a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I know some coaches that feel like if you call an RPO and the quarterback throws the ball, that those yards should count as rushing yards because it was more or less a called run. You didn't get to look to run the ball, so you're doing a quick pass, and that those should count as rushing yards. I honestly can make an argument both ways. You don't want to be running your head into a wall. You don't want to just call a play and run it if it's a bad look. I don't think, as a matter of principle, that that's a very good idea. The flip side of that is, with all these RPOs in the gun, there really aren't that many runs off of it. There's not a big menu of runs. And so the defense can really key in on what those runs are. And there is something to be said for a volume of runs. And yeah. So if you're not just calling a run and going with it, or you can call two runs. You know, you can call a run to the right, run to the left, and run it to the more favorable look. But if you're doing RPOs, and every time you're in RPO, you throw it, then you're not getting the volume of runs that coaches really covet for a lot of reasons.
Yesterday on the show, you were discussing that the current playoff field, the 14-team field, would not have the Chiefs, the Lions, or the Ravens in it. Do you think all three are actually missing? Do you think all three still get in?
I think all three still get in, but the odds would tell you that one of them's probably going to miss it. You know, I mean, I don't know which team that would be. I'd have to look at it again. I don't think it's the Ravens, because I think the Ravens will win that division.
Agree.
It would be the Lions or the Chiefs. I think there's probably a pretty good chance that one of them misses it, just because of where they are right now. But kind of like I said to those other shows, I'm not the one saying that. I'm still picking them to go.
Nah, I hear you. Yeah, I think the Ravens are going to end up winning the North. I still don't believe that Chicago ends up winning the NFC North. I think the Lions still do. And then really, that means I think the Chiefs would be the least likely of the bunch to make it. Doesn't mean they won't, but I think, and I haven't looked at the exact betting market, I believe they also have the worst odds to make it of those three. But I understand why you don't want to, you know, why you don't want to put them down yet as the Chiefs get set to take on the Colts Sunday. Ross, appreciate it, man. We'll check in next Tuesday or Wednesday.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.
Wednesday. Yes, Wednesday. Appreciate Ross for joining us.
The show was cursed earlier, so we had no choice.
It really was. Yeah, I think, you know, for what Ross is saying, kind of where I'm at, which is got to see what they do against the Colts before I'm writing the entire season off. Got to see them. They beat the Colts. They lose the Colts. That's the shift. They lose the Colts, I will come on the show Monday and say the season is over. I will join Dusty in that. I think it is too early to say that when there is still seven games left. And if they beat the Colts, they still have one game of wiggle room to go. Because I'm baking this off of basing this off of a 6-1 finish. Yeah. By the way,
11 wins are getting in the playoffs.
Practice report. Just saw some video coming out from some media at practice, including Matt Derrick and Nate Taylor and others. Isaiah Pacheco back at practice. As we knew, brace on his right knee. Worthy's there, does not appear to be practicing as he tweaked his ankle in walkthroughs this morning.
They've been really careful with him.
They said he tweaked his ankle this morning, though.
You step off a curb weird?
Who knows? In walkthroughs, they said. I don't know.
Kind of need all their weapons against the Colts.
Tomorrow,
so we'll see.
Thursday edition of the show, Paul Charchin. We'll talk fantasy football. Dana Hughes. We'll have a little Professor Tapp back in the mix after having Professor Weber last week. Hope you guys have a good rest of your Wednesday. That betting show tonight, I'll be live 6 to 7.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? It's Creed Humphrey. You're listening to Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2 on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.